Friends, we can all listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
This is VOA Sonny Young in Washington. Welcome to the Sunny Side of Sports. The Confederation of African Football, CAF, recently held the draw for the 2019 Nations Cup tournament, which will be held in Egypt from June 21st to July 19th. 24 teams were placed into six groups of four each. Let's review the groups. Group A has host Egypt, the Democratic Republic of Congo, Uganda, and Zimbabwe. Group B has Nigeria, Guinea, Madagascar, and Burundi. Madagascar and Burundi are both making their Nations Cup debuts. Group C has Senegal, Algeria, Kenya, and Tanzania. Group D has Morocco, Ivory Coast, South Africa, and Namibia. Group E has Tunisia, Mali, Mauritania, and Angola. Mauritania is also making its Nations Cup debut. And Group F has Cameroon, the defending Nations Cup champion, as well as Ghana, Benin, and Guinea-Bissau. With any big international football tournament, soccer gurus like to label one of the groups the proverbial group of death. That is the toughest or most competitive group. For Egypt 2019, let me once again sound ominous. The group of death is widely considered Group D. Morocco, Ivory Coast, and South Africa are all past Nations Cup champions, while the brave warriors of Namibia will have to be very brave to advance out of this group. The Atlas Lions of Morocco are led by Frenchman Hervé Renard, who is hoping to lift his third Nations Cup trophy after African titles with Zambia in 2012 and Ivory Coast in 2015. Bafana Bafana of South Africa, meanwhile, is guided by head coach Stuart Baxter. Iron Mike Mbonye reached Coach Baxter in Johannesburg and asked him for his thoughts on the group.
I think it's a very tough group. I think even the other teams will feel that as well, you know, not just the South African national coach. I think it's a very tough group, and I think it's a great challenge for the players that we have at this moment in time. You know, we're trying to develop a new squad, and the game to qualify against Libya was a very tough game, and that was great for their development. And this AFCON with that group will be also a major challenge, and again, it will be great for their development.
Talking about preparations, how soon do you intend going to camp for the AFCON tournament?
We're considering assembling a squad to take on the Costa tournament. It won't be the same squad as AFCON, but we do want to at least bring in some of the players that we want to check, and so we'll be going into that camp very early. Then we'll probably take the full squad to Dubai, where we'll play a couple of friendly games before then moving into the base camp in Cairo.
Do you have injury worries or injury scares as you prepare for the tournament?
We've got people that are coming back from injury, Michael. We don't have any alarming injuries at this moment in time. We've had six of our best players with long-term injuries. We've got back three or four of them, but Keegan Dolly, for example, and Bongani Zungu are both still recovering from injuries. They should be clear. They're both in full training now, so they should be clear when the squad assembles.
Your message to South Africans and indeed the teaming fans of Bafana Bafana as they go for the AFCON tournament?
Well, the first thing is it's been so long since we've had a squad that has shown the character that this squad showed in Libya to get through. So I hope that we can continue to develop that character and combine that with the undoubted natural flair of South African footballers. I would like to think that we can develop that identity, and that will be something that the South African fans will like to see.
That's Stuart Baxter, the head coach of South Africa's Nations Cup-bound football team, Bafana Bafana. And Coach Baxter spoke with Iron Mike Mbonye on the telephone from Johannesburg, South Africa. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. And here are a few fun Nations Cup facts about Stuart Baxter. He was born in Wolverhampton, England in 1953. Wolverhampton is home to the English Premier League's Wolverhampton Wanderers Football Club. Baxter's father, Bill, played for the Wanderers and later for Aston Villa. For his part, Stuart Baxter was a midfielder during his playing days, and he played for clubs in England, Scotland, Sweden, Australia, and here in the United States. In 1983, Baxter got his kicks with the San Diego Sockers in the now-defunct North American Soccer League. We heard Coach Baxter talk about assembling a squad for the COSAFA Cup tournament. The regional tournament featuring member teams of the Council of Southern Africa Football Associations will be held in Durban, South Africa from May 25th to June 8th. Zimbabwe was originally scheduled to host the 2019 COSAFA Cup, but pulled out for financial reasons. COSAFA organizers say the tournament will serve as vital preparation for the region's five Nations Cup-bound teams: Angola, Madagascar, Namibia, South Africa, and Zimbabwe. A draw will be held May 3rd in Durban to determine the first round groups for the 14-nation regional competition. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. Just ahead, my VOA colleague, Gwen Uten, will have news of Premier League leader Liverpool and Tottenham Hotspur advancing to the semifinals in the UEFA Champions League football tournament. But first, these Voice of America programming announcements.
Hello, I'm Carol Castiel, host of Press Conference USA, VOA's newsmaker interview program. Join us each Saturday and Sunday when we talk with authors, analysts, and policymakers who provide fresh insight on topics ranging from U.S. politics and foreign policy to science, culture, and global health. You can listen to Press Conference USA on the radio or online at voanews.com/PCUSA. While you're visiting our website, be sure to subscribe to our podcast. We'd also love to hear from you. Just send an email to pcusa@voanews.com or connect with us on Facebook at facebook.com/CarolCastielVOA or on Twitter at CarolCastielVOA. That's Press Conference USA every Saturday and Sunday on The Voice of America.
Want to relax, unwind, or charge up? Then listen to Music Time in Africa this weekend. It'll do all that for you and more. I'm Heather Maxwell. I know good music, and Africa is my passion. Join me every Saturday and Sunday for 1 hour of commercial-free, Pan-African music of the highest caliber. You get great music, music news, and amazing artist interviews from rising stars to superstars. This listen will take you places. So do it. Join me for Music Time in Africa, your weekend destination.
Thanks, Heather. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. In UEFA Champions League quarterfinal action Wednesday, Tottenham Hotspur ousted Manchester City in a 7-goal thriller in Manchester, England. The Spurs lost to Man City 4-3, but their series ended 4-all on aggregate, and Tottenham went through on the away goals rule. Joining us now with more details is my VOA colleague, Gwen Uten. Sporty greetings, Gwen.
Sporty greetings, Sonny. The dramatic match between Man City and Tottenham got off to a frantic start, with each team scoring 2 goals in the first 11 minutes. The quarterfinal match produced 7 goals in all and was capped off with a chaotic finish in the final 2 minutes of stoppage time. Raheem Sterling's premature celebration celebrations in what would have been the deciding goal for Man City was abruptly stopped by the video assistant referee. Ultimately, Sterling's goal was ruled offside, and the Spurs, who thought they were about to be knocked out of contention, got through on away goals. Afterwards, Man City manager Pep Guardiola said it was a tough way to lose a game.
It's cruel, but it's where it is. We have to accept it. So it was a nice game for everybody. A lot of alternative after 20 minutes, you know, 2-3. And second half, we did everything. So we could not use it to create chances. We create a lot, so we make mistakes in that competition punish us a lot, but we knew it, but we scored the goals that we needed. Unfortunately, at the end was a bad end for us, so congratulations Tottenham and his team and his side, and all the best for the semifinals.
Pep also had a message for Man City fans who were no doubt crestfallen by the loss.
I'm so proud for especially the fans. Thank you so much for the reaction and for the incredible behavior. It was an amazing night for us. So never saw the stadium like today here in, since I'm here in Manchester, and we are sad for all of them, but I know they know that we gave absolutely everything, and football is like this, so it's unpredictable, and unfortunately we are not in the next stage.
Meanwhile, Tottenham is into its first European Cup semifinal in 57 years. After the match, coach Mauricio Pochettino told the press the Spurs are quite deserving to reach the last four of the Champions League.
We deserve to be in the semifinal. My players are heroes. I told you before the game, happened what happened, I'm going to feel proud about them. And after to be qualified for the semifinal, making history, more than happy and more than proud for them.
And Pochettino says despite their win, his team has more to do to reach the level of top-ranked teams.
The reality is Tottenham still need to improve. If you want to be on the level of Manchester City or Real Madrid or Barcelona, or be in the last level like the big size on Europe. But I think we are in a very good way. Now is a moment, like I told you before the press conference, is about to close up a chapter this season and try to design another chapter in Tottenham to try to achieve the thing that deserves the club with our amazing stadium and with our amazing fans, to try to be competitive again, to try to design the strategy to fight and be a real contender for the big things.
Tottenham will take on Dutch club Ajax in the semifinals. Meanwhile, they will once again test their grit against Man City when the two meet again in the Premier League on April 20th. Man City hopes a win there will put them back on top of Premier League standings over Liverpool. And speaking of Liverpool, they enjoyed a comfortable 4-1 victory against Porto to reach the semifinals. They are now set to face Barcelona. And on Wednesday, Liverpool coach Jurgen Klopp said while he looks forward to playing against Barcelona, his main focus is on their next opponent, Cardiff City.
Well, we're in the semi-final. We're going to play against Barcelona. You can imagine, I don't think too much about it, but I'm really happy about the fact that we play them, and we will find things where we think that probably we could use it or whatever, but on the other hand side, I don't care. I don't mind tonight. Tonight we are in the semi-final, and we play on Sunday against Cardiff. That's in my mind and will be in my mind 100% when I wake up tomorrow, and not how we play against Barcelona. We have enough time for that.
And enough time, he says, to find a way to stop Barcelona star Lionel Messi ahead of their semifinal match on May 1st. Liverpool is in contention for domestic league and Champions League double. And as you heard, Klopp's laser beam focus is on their next match against Cardiff City this Sunday. And that's all for me. Sonny, back over to you.
Thanks, Gwen. That's my VOA colleague, Gwen Uten. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. It's being described as one of the greatest comebacks in sports history. 43-year-old Tiger Woods winning a fifth Masters golf title. My VOA colleague Jim Stevenson looks back on Tiger's big triumph, and Jim also has some tennis news.
Where were you when Tiger Woods made his amazing comeback to win his fifth Masters golf tournament?
Well, I know where I was. Yeah, I had a little one-foot tap in.
So many memories over the more than two decades playing at Augusta National Golf Course.
Coming here in 95 for the first time and being able to play as an amateur, winning in 97, and then come full circle 22 years later. Able to do it again.
Woods went from major golf champion to struggling with everyday life and back again.
I had, you know, serious doubts after, you know, what transpired a couple years ago. I could barely walk. I couldn't sit. I couldn't lay down. I really couldn't do much of anything. Luckily, I had the procedure in my back, which gave me a chance at, you know, having a, you know, a normal life. But then all of a sudden, I realized I could actually swing a golf club again. I felt that if I could somehow piece this together, that I still had the hands to do it.
Woods worked at his game.
I just felt so prepared coming into this event. Prep for the Masters starts, you know, 6 months ago. And so just trying to make sure that I get ready to peak for this 1 week. And I did.
And coming down the home stretch during the fourth and final round.
There were so many different scenarios that could have transpired on that back nine. There were so many guys who had a chance to win. Leaderboard was absolutely packed and everyone was playing well.
While players around him were hitting longer and aggressively challenging the course, Woods told himself,
just go ahead and just keep playing your game, keep plodding along, and keep doing all the little things correctly. Keep missing the ball in the correct spots, you know, be committed to it. Even if the wind's puffing up and down, be committed to the shot and the shot shape. I was.
With nothing to lose, Woods let the shots fly.
I hit some of the best shots on that back nine today. You know, I just flushed it coming home, which was that's a nice feeling.
Woods' amazing win brought him full circle, first as a son embracing his father.
My dad shouldn't have come in 97. I mean, he had heart complications and wasn't supposed to fly, but he flew and came and gave me a putting lesson on Wednesday night, and you know, the rest is history. My dad's no longer here, but my mom is here 22 years later.
Woods became the father embracing his son and sharing the pinnacle of his talents with his children, now old enough to understand.
Now to have them see their pops win, just like my pops saw me win here, it's pretty special.
Woods says his legacy has been inspiring younger players and a change of approach among the younger PGA Tour professionals.
I think that I've driven a lot more youth to the game. A lot of the guys that are, especially on the tour now, are training. They're getting bigger, stronger, faster, more athletic.
Woods hopes his story can inspire anyone who is battling in life.
Just keep fighting. That's just part of the deal. We wake up every morning and there's always challenges in front of us, and keep fighting and keep getting through them.
As for taking home his fifth Masters green jacket.
Yeah, I'm excited about show and tell at school.
Beautiful.
For more than 65 years, the Washington Tennis and Education Foundation has offered children in underserved neighborhoods access to tennis, a sport often viewed as an upper-class activity. By combining athletic and academic tools, the organization helps kids stay engaged and focused on their studies.
Dante, watch that ball. Oh, yeah! Looking good.
Since opening in 1955, the foundation has grown, but its mission has stayed the same: to give kids 8 to 18 years old the skills they need on the court and beyond. Andrea Nicholson, a fourth grader, comes almost every day, and she likes playing tennis.
Something that I like most about tennis is the game. Just really gets my attention in anything that I do. Just brings up the fire in me.
Audra Bell helps bring out the best in children through her work with Washington Tennis and Education Foundation.
A lot of times we go get them from school and bring them here. They do half their time doing homework, and they spend time with tutors. We have a robotics program, a girls group.
The kids spend the rest of their time on the tennis court.
The kids are transformed whenever they commit and they learn discipline and they learn mental toughness and all of the things that tennis teaches you as a whole. It's really amazing to see.
Rebecca Crouch Pelham is the president of the Washington Tennis and Education Foundation.
You're on the court, you're playing singles, you're by yourself, you're relying on yourself. That is absolutely the exact same stamina and kind of resilience that our kids need in the classroom. We use it as the hook. They love it. They come every day and they play tennis, but we also expect them to excel academically. We also have two pros here that grew up in the program, and now they work here full time as tennis coaches.
Tennis director Mike Ragland is one of those pros. He says joining the program at 13 changed his life.
I was doing things I shouldn't have been doing. Got myself in a lot of trouble. When I started playing tennis, it gave me a different path to life.
Because of tennis, Ragland went to college on a full scholarship and started a career as a tennis coach.
When they called and said that they was building this facility, they wanted someone to come back that came up through the program. I wanted to get back. We take the kids in. We talk to the kids about life, how to carry themselves, how to behave, and give them a structure. Something that they can go forward with.
Xavier Boone is a high school senior.
It teaches you not to give up, and it teaches you just to kind of push through life. Everyone here is doing very well in school, and that's just all thanks to the tutors and the teachers that we have here.
Coaches here say just a few go on to become tennis pros, but others do very well and receive full scholarships, while the rest, officials say, get a solid foundation to help them succeed in life.
Thanks, Jim. That's my VOA colleague, Jim Stevenson. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America.
They're playing back.
In National Basketball Association playoff action Wednesday night, the Milwaukee Bucks, the Boston Celtics, and the Houston Rockets all scored first-round victories at home, and they now lead their best-of-seven series 2-0. The Bucks beat the Detroit Pistons 120-99. Giannis Antetokounmpo, my pick for this year's NBA Most Valuable Player Award, led the Bucks with 26 points and 12 rebounds. In Boston, the Celtics got a big game from star guard Kyrie Irving to defeat the Indiana Pacers by 8 points. The AP's Gethin Coolbaugh reports from Boston.
Kyrie Irving carried the Celtics with a dominant 37-point, 7-assist night to give Boston a 2-0 series lead over the Pacers after a 99-91 win in Game 2. Irving finished 5 points shy of his career playoff high and was the key cog during the Celtics' 21-5 second-half run after the Pacers had gone up 12.
The object of the game is to outscore the other team, and I was trying to put as many points on the board as I could in that third quarter just to sustain something for us. We didn't start off as well as we would have liked, but that happens sometimes, and got to be able to weather the storm, and I think we did a great job of that.
Jason Tatum chipped in 26 points, including the go-ahead three-pointer with 50.8 seconds remaining. Gethin Coolbaugh, Boston.
Thanks, Gethin. Now let's go to Houston, Texas, where the Houston Rockets, led by star guard James Harden, defeated the Utah Jazz. The AP's Adam Spillane reports from Houston.
Behind James Harden's triple-double, the Houston Rockets lead their Western Conference first-round series 2-0 after beating the Utah Jazz 118-98. Harden scored 32 points, grabbed 13 rebounds, and dished out 10 assists for his third career playoff triple-double. Harden says offense wasn't the difference, though.
I think it was our defensive effort. We preach and we talk about it. That's where it's going to end up at, and that's what we need to do in order to advance and give ourselves a chance, and we've done that.
The Rockets held the Jazz to 40% shooting from the field and 21% from three-point range. Chris Paul added 17 points for the Rockets.
We got enough vets to know that we did what we're supposed to do. You're supposed to win, you know, your home game, so game three is a big game for us, and we know they'll be a lot more comfortable going into their home court with their home fans, but fortunately, we've been there before.
Ricky Rubio and Royce O'Neal led the Jazz with 17 points. Game 3 is Saturday in Salt Lake City. Adam Spillane, Houston.
Thanks, Adam. And that wraps up the April 18th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Thanks to Voice of America producer Bill Werkinger. Thanks also to VOA engineer Aiden Utko. And thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA Sonny Young in Washington, and that's the Sunny Side of Sports.
I get it.
Hello, I'm Douglas Simpoga, host of VOA's Reporters Roundtable. Join us every Thursday as we discuss important African topics and events. I'll have a panel of African journalists and expert guests to discuss the topic at hand. We take a deeper look at important African news topics. That's Reporters Roundtable every Thursday at 17:30 UTC, right here on VOA Africa.
Hello, this is James Butte, Managing Editor and host of VOA's Daybreak Africa show. Join us Monday through Friday at 03, 04, 05, and 0600 hours UTC as we bring you the latest Africa news, features, and sports. You can also be a part of Daybreak Africa through our mail segment by sending your comments to daybreakafrica at voanews.com. Or you can call us on 001-202-205-9942. And when you hear the Voice of America identification, press the number 25 to leave us your message. That's Daybreak Africa at 03, 04, 05, and 0600 hours UTC, right here on VOA Africa.
Hello, this is Heather Maxwell, host of Music Time in Africa. Join me every Saturday and Sunday for an hour of awesome African music. Wake up, dance this music. Like to stay on top of new music trends, breakout artists, new releases? Maybe you just love the classic styles and artists of the past. Or simply the sound and feel of a good beat. Whatever your pleasure, you can get it every week right here on Music Time in Africa. So join me on your local FM station, Saturdays and Sundays at 1500 and 2000 UTC.
This is Science in a Minute.
Scientists say there have been five major extinction events in Earth's history. The most devastating, killing 9 of 10 species on our planet, was the Permian mass extinction, or Great Dying, 252 million years ago. A new study by U.S. and Chinese researchers supports a theory that volcanic eruptions were responsible for wiping out most of life on Earth. The eruptions blasted significant amounts of material, especially greenhouse gases, into the atmosphere for thousands of years, causing Earth's average temperature to rise about 10 degrees centigrade. The researchers point to the warming climate as a major culprit behind the catastrophe. But also devastating was the acid rain produced by the volcanic material in the atmosphere and warmer water temperatures, which ruined the oceans and other bodies of water. I'm VOA's Rick Pantaleo.
Join your host, Larry London, for Border Crossings, VOA's Worldwide Music Request Hour, every weekday at 1500 Universal. Tune in to hear your favorite songs and artists, win prizes and giveaways, and get the latest scoop from exclusive celebrity interviews. Send in requests to our Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram, or call 202-618-2077 to have your favorite music played for the entire world. Don't miss Border Crossings every weekday at 1500 Universal.
VOA's Learning English is available online at learningenglish.voanews.com. Check out our programs such as Let's Learn English, English in a Minute, Everyday Grammar, and many more. VOA's Learning English, your reliable source for learning English. VOA.
We are always glad to have our listeners throughout Africa tuning in to our newscasts, covering African news. Tune in on top of each hour, 24/7. VOA is your trusted source of news and information.